Well, God's blessings to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And that was a really wonderful sharing by Jason, faith energized by love. And without the love, is no point in us doing anything, because God requires us to walk in love, and that's the fuel for our faith. Like Jason was saying, my teaching tonight is faith will turn every defeat into victory, because God doesn't want us to live a substandard life. He doesn't want us to live in lack. He doesn't want us to live in worry. He doesn't want us to live in fear. And he doesn't want us to live in doubts. He wants us to walk in great faith. And he calls us believers because that's what God expects from us. And God has perfect victory for us every time we believe him above our circumstances. And God raised us up for victory, not defeat. God never, ever, ever made a failure. And the only time we fail is when we don't believe. So what is faith? Faith is believing, and believing is acting on the word. Faith is calling those things which are not as though they were. So that means we've already seen it before we attained it. And I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 4. And we've been hitting on the subject of faith, like living by faith is not a struggle. Because God really wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be happy. And when we got the world on our shoulders, how can we move? When we're concerned and worried because of other people may not be joining us, or other people may not be agreeing with us, then that's going to get us to a place of low-level faith. And God wants us to have high-level faith. He wants us to trust him every moment of our lives, and it's available to do that. And if we're going to walk by the Spirit, we have to have genuinely godly faith. Okay, and in 1 John chapter 5, and this is a wonderful record here, in verse 4 it says, "For whosoever is born of God," that's someone that has confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and believed God raised him from the dead, "overcometh the world." That's the world systems, the things that are in this world, the things that are thrown at you, the challenges that come your way to get your faith low level. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith, our believing. Faith is believing. Faith is acting upon the promises of God. Faith is doing those things that God leads us and shows us to do by his word and by his spirit. If we got genuinely godly faith, then we're genuinely walking by the Spirit. Otherwise, we're walking by our knowledge, intellect, or our own ideas. And God doesn't want us to live in that place. There is a higher level for us to live. We are already seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. The problems of this world, the problems or challenges that you might face right now, they're under your feet, and you have authority over them. Okay? When we use the name of Jesus Christ, we have to use it with what? Faith, believing. God requires us to believe. And when we're in relationship with God, then that love of God is flowing to us. And then we can manifest that love of God out in our actions, in our words, and in our service. And we've been called to service. And the service of a believer is to live their life before the Father and to do those things that he shows you to do. Is to be those witnesses, those ambassadors for Christ, and ones that will hold forth his word. See, our lives now is different. We're a new creation in Christ. We're not to live in our old man nature, but we're to live in that new man nature. And that new man nature now is that God is first in what we do. And that we do it because we know what we've been bought with, the price that's been paid. And we so love God for what he has done for us through Christ. And we want to take his love to the world. And if we're going to do that, we need to stand upon the promises of God. We need to know what God says we are. We need to know what God expects of us. It's not what our ministers expect of us, or another believer, or our brother, sister, or wife, or our husbands. It's what God expects for us to do. And we are accountable unto God for our stand. And we got no excuses. We can't say, well, it's because of this person or because of that person. Where is your stand with God? Where is your faith level right now? Where is your faith level? Now, there are three levels of faith that I can see in the scripture. And I'm going to give you those three levels of faith. I'm not saying there's three different ways of faith. I'm saying there's three different levels of faith. And the scriptures define it as little faith, great faith, and increased faith. So let's have a look at little faith in the Word of God. So we go to Matthew chapter 8. And this is another wonderful record. And we can learn so much by reading the Gospels, reading the Old Testament, reading the church epistles. And the Word of God builds faith in you. And when you act upon those things, then you're going to start seeing results. We can all have realms of knowledge and understanding, which is good to have if it's being applied in our life, if it's being lived. If we're truly living those things, or we're making ourselves look good in front of other people because we know the scriptures and we got to put on an act to, well, I'm a minister, and well, yes, I am a believer and I do this. But in our own private life, we're living ungodly, right? In your own private life, you could put on two shows. You can have the show that the people see in front of them, the act that you put on. You can dress nicely, you can speak very wonderfully, you can do things in front of people, but that doesn't count for nothing if you're living your life deceitfully. If you're being hooked in to something in your personal life that's going to bring your faith levels down, people may think, well, this woman or this man, they got great, you know, they got great understanding, they got wonderful hearts, but there's nothing happening. But what we have to do is check, what are we doing in our own personal life? What are we doing in our own personal walk? Now, for me, I get up in the morning, I pray. I lift my day. I got a lift list of people that I pray for, of people in different countries that I pray for. This is what I do. I spend at least 15 minutes reading my word, at least, minimum, okay? And I pray and I ask God to inspire me. I ask God, what would he like me to do today? Even though I may have other things planned, I want God first in what I do. And sometimes it don't plan out for me, but the majority of the time it does. Okay, and we've been doing, as you know, as you've seen on Facebook, if those that follow us on Facebook and or Instagram or other places, that we've been doing the Slimming World. That's me, Kim and Liam. And this is a great open door where people are, and a great open door to share our faith and what we believe. And we are, by God's grace, having a great impact with the people there. We've shared the world with so many people, and there's about 40 to 50 people at different times that go to the Slimming World. And people know who we are and why we're doing what we're doing, what we do in our personal life, what we do in our faith life. We share our lives with people. And people are kind of drawn to us. It's not because of us, but it's because of the life we're living in front of them. But the life we're living in front of them is also the personal life that we're living. We haven't got two-faced. We're not a two-faced Christian or a two-faced believers where we're showing one thing and doing another. What you see with me and my house is what you get. And we don't put on any airs and graces, but this is who we are. Okay, this is what we believe. And we may not be perfect in everything we do, but we have faith in our God, and we trust in the living God, and we trust in his written word to us, and we trust that he's working in us by his Spirit, and we act upon those things. So in Matthew 8, we'll just have a look at this little faith. Matthew 8, verse 23, and it says, "And when he was entered into a ship," this is Jesus, "his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciple came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm." Jesus Christ knew his authority was from the Father, and he used his authority in those troubling times. And when you're in troubled times, you can use your authority, or you can be fearful and have little faith. As Jason mentioned in his sharing, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." It also says in the Word of God, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." It also says that we can seek the Lord and hear us and deliver us from all our fears. If you got fear, where you got fear, you have not got belief and faith. And God wants you to have belief and faith. And there's so many things that can come up in our walk as believers that can make us afraid. Okay, or, you know, there can be many examples. And God wants us to truly not look at those situations, but look to him in all these things. And verse 27, it says, "But the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" So we don't want to have little faith. We want to have great faith. And where we have fear, our faith is going to be very little. And we're not going to accomplish much. We're going to start having worries, fears and doubts. That's the opposite of faith. Now let's have a look at great faith. Great faith in the Word of God. So in Matthew chapter 15, if you'd like to take your Bibles there. And by the way, for those people that are listening right now, I just want to thank you for coming along and for listening to the teachings. But I also want to make you aware that on the website now, I've made it available where people can give if they're led or inspired by God to give. If you've been blessed by the teachings that you're hearing and you want to, you know, give and get blessed by your giving, then it's available to do that through the website. I was encouraged by three different people. I wasn't going to make this available, but God was kind of put it in my heart to do it, and I wasn't 100% sure, but three different individuals outside of this country encouraged me to make it available that if people wanted to give to the work of the ministry that we're doing, then to at least make something available whereby they can give. So it's on the website, it's in the menu bar under giving, and I've also put a contact page on there where you can also contact us. So that's just for your information there. And if we go back to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, we're looking at great faith. And then it says in verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's who Jesus Christ was sent for in his day and time, while he walked the face of the earth. He was sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." See, this woman didn't give up. Just because he told her, "He's come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel," you would think that would have been enough to send her on her way. And the disciples were saying, "Lord, send her on the way because she's crying after us," you know. But she continued. "Then she came, she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Verse 26. "But he answered and said, It is not meet or adequate to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." He was basically calling this woman a dog, right? And she said, "Truth, Lord." Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah, I see what you're saying. "Yet the dogs eat off the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Even the dogs get something. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." She persisted. Faith is persistent. Faith never gives up. The love of God also never gives up. Okay, when you have fear, you'll give up. You're walk back in defeat, rather walk forward into that victory, which is your faith, which overcomes the world and the things that are in this world. It's just really a wonderful record. "Oh, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." How do you want it? "And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." How she believed is what she received. What you believe in the depths of your heart is what you're going to be receiving. Right, we see this principle right in here. So faith and your corresponding actions will help you receive. And what you're saying also will help you receive what you're going to get. Right? So if you are worried, fears and doubts, you're confessing your circumstances, you're confessing your problem, right? And you're acting on that, okay, to try and remedy your problem, then you're going to end up with the problem. But when you take your problem to the Father and you cast your cares to him because he cares for you, you lay at his feet in believing, knowing that he's going to take care of this. When you claim the promises of God, which are in Christ, yes and amen, then you are going to receive an answer. Faith does not give up. Jesus Christ said, seek, ask, and knock. And when you look at that record, it really means keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Faith does not give up. Have you given up in your faith? Have you become low level in your faith? If you're a believer listening to this right now, and you're down, then get to the Word. Get to where you can hear someone encourage you. And go to the Word of God. Take your problems to the Father. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you through your situation. And you keep believing God. You keep moving with God. Do the things that He shows you. Do the things that He puts in your heart. Okay? That's great faith, or you can have little faith. And now I want to look at increased faith. If you go to Luke, the book of Luke, we can see this here. So great faith is a confidence and trust in God that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. He's got a plan and purpose for you. And you just need to get in line with Him and believe Him. And not look at your circumstances, situations, or your problems. Your problems may be very, very real, but God is more real and sure than the ground you walk on. And He wants you to trust Him. And if you're a man of faith or a woman of faith, then God wants you to energize faith into others by being that example, by bringing encouragement, by bringing enlightenment, by bringing direction. God wants His people fired up. And a lot of people are walking not in faith. And I'll show you what they're walking in a minute. But let's have a look at this increase our faith. Luke 17:5. And it says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed is the tiniest seed you can get, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Okay, so just having that little bit of faith, you can produce great results with God. And see, but there are levels in our faith. There might be times you wake up and you feel down. You might feel, you know, oh, I feel tired today, and your faith levels are just low. But what you need to do is get back to the Word, get back to your prayer, get back to speaking in tongues. Use the things that God has given you. So we have as much faith of a walk with God, and we determine it. Okay, we got loads of faith, but we determine that faith. It's up to us whether we're going to walk in faith or walk in fear. And God wants us to live in victory, but where are you putting your trust? You've got to ask yourself these things. And I was thinking, and I put a post on my website, Facebook, about mental ascent. So what is mental ascent? Mental ascent is a faith killer. In fact, it's so close to faith that a lot of people are deceived and thinking that they're walking in faith when they're actually have mental ascent. Mental ascent is that we believe the things of God, but we don't act on the things of God. Believing is acting on the Word. Believing is being a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. And it's very easy to get comfortable just listening to teachings. You might come to this blog and listen to loads and loads of teachings, but are you actually doing the things that are being encouraged? Because I'm telling you now, if you do 10% of the things that are encouraged on this website, you will have great things happening in your life. And God wants you to have great things happening in your life. And it's not because I'm a great teacher, or Jason is, or Kim is, or Amy is, or anybody else is. It's because the Word of God is true. And when the Word of God is received and acted upon, then great things can happen. And, you know, God doesn't want us discouraged. He doesn't want us talking negative about one another. He doesn't want us to talk about negative about our relationships or our finances. He wants us to act in faith and do what we need to do so that He can go to work on our behalf. Like Jason was saying in his teaching, there is something that we have to do, and that is what God shows us to do, right? But we're saved by God's favor. We are saved by His grace, His unmerited divine favor. We can never work to earn our salvation. Jesus Christ accomplished that. And it's in Christ that we live. And it's in God that we live and move and have our being. It's in believing them, not just knowing what the things are. One minister put mental ascent this way, and he wrote this. One of the greatest enemies of real faith is what we call mental ascent. people who operate in mental assent read the word and they think they believe it. But when pressure comes, they don't act on it. Mental assenters say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I believed I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus because the Bible says so. But when sickness actually comes and attacks their body, they stop praying, by his stripes I am healed, and start saying, I am sick. Real faith believes what the word says, even though eyes and feelings say something different. Faith doesn't care what the symptoms are. It doesn't care how the circumstances look. It's not moved by what the bankers say, or the doctors, or the lawyers, or the bill collectors. Faith in God will change the symptoms. It will change the bank. It will change the money to get the bills paid. Faith will turn every defeat into victory. It is God's success for formula. But you have to give faith an opportunity to work. You have to keep God's word in your mouth and meditate on it in your heart, that you may observe to do to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have great success, right? Your mouth, that's like in Joshua 1:8. That's where it says in Joshua 1:8. So determine in your heart today to speak God's word out of your mouth, and to speak nothing contrary to the word. Don't be a mental assenter, but be a mighty person of faith. Be a doer of the word of God, okay? And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be doers and not hearers only. Are you mental assenting, or are you walking in godly, genuine faith? Now, I want to read you something else that truly blessed me, and it is also by W.E. Kenyon. And he talks about mental assent in this way, and it's absolutely fantastic. And this is not a long teaching I'm doing, but this is something that God worked in my heart that needed to be said and needed to be taught and encouraged amongst our people in the fellowships. Whoever listens to this, if you're a minister, teach it to your people, because God wants his people to walk in genuine faith. He doesn't want them to mental assent because they know loads of scriptures or they know loads of records in the Bible. He wants them to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Okay, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And E.W. Kenyon says this: mental assent and its origin. The utter commonness of the word, which should have been our deliverance from ignorance and bondage, Satan has used to hinder the working of the word in our midst. The greatest weapon that Satan is using today to make the word of God ineffectual is the weapon of mental assent. This weapon is utterly dangerous because it is so subtle. Mental assent is hard to recognize because it comes clothed in the terms of faith. Before we can understand the difference between mental assent and faith, we must understand the meaning of each. Mental assent versus faith. Faith is action upon the word. Believing is fearlessly acting upon the word. Mental assent is agreement to the fact that the Bible is true, but it is void of action. Perhaps a few illustrations will make it clearer. A man seeking to become a Christian who really believes says the following: I believe that Christ was raised from the dead. I take him as my Saviour and confess him as my Lord. Therefore I am saved, because his word in Romans 10:9-10 declares so. He confesses that he is saved before he receives the witness within himself. He believes the word to be God's. Therefore he acts fearlessly upon it, regardless of his feelings, because he knows that it cannot be broken. He boldly makes the word his confession. There is no believing that does not result in confession. A mental assenter who is seeking to become a Christian will speak similarly the following: I believe the Bible is God's word. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have been trying to be saved for a long time. I've asked him in, but I'm not saved. This one would be insulted if he was told that he did not believe, yet his attitude is one of mental assent. He professes to believe, yet he has no conception of acting upon God's word. If he had believed, he would have said, God's word is true, I believe, therefore I have eternal life, like it says in John 5:24. Mental assent produces no action. It has no confession. Mental assent has robbed many of receiving healing. A believer says this, by his stripes I am healed. The disease may be manifest in this body, yet he is acting upon the word which declares that by his stripes he is healed. It may be that after he has been prayed for, he has witnessed no healing, yet he says, I am healed, because the word declares that in Christ's name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. A Christian who is a mentalist center has the following attitude. I believe the Bible is true. I have believed these scriptures all my life. I have had so many pray for me, I can't understand why I'm not healed. How many of God's children have suffered years with a disease, not realizing their difficulty, thinking that their mental assent was faith? Many Christians who are living in the realm of mental assent today are living barren and fruitless spiritual lives. They all live their lives, have been seeking power with God in their lives and prayer. They have never learnt to live by the word. They live in weakness and failure and want because they have no conception of the real meaning of believing God's word, of really acting upon the word. The word declares that they have been made new creations in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That they have been made the very righteousness of God as in 2 Corinthians 5:21. That they are joint heirs with Christ, as it says in Romans 8:17, that the authority of his name is theirs in prayer, John 16, verses 23 to 24, and that God shall supply their every need in Philippians 4:19. Yet they have no consciousness of righteousness, authority in the name of Jesus, or strength. This is due to the fact that their attitude has been one of mental assent, and Satan has robbed them of their inheritance in Christ. Don't let Satan rob you of who you truly are in Christ, the authority, the love, the joy, the fruits of the Spirit that Jason mentioned in his teaching. Don't let mental assent rob you of what you can truly manifest in your living, in your life, in your walk today. God wants us to be those witnesses, those shining lights. He wants us to walk in authority. Yes, you will have stuff come against you. Yes, problems may arise. The winds may blow. The storms may rise up. The waves may come crashing down. But we got authority in Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Nay, in all these things I am more than a conqueror. That's what the attitude of faith is. Regardless of those things, regardless if you're the only person standing in your local area, you stand upon the word and you don't budge. And God will come true and he will come through on his promises when you stand in faith and you do you act upon the word. You do the things God's leading you to do by his spirit as well. That's genuinely godly faith. Or do you have mental assent? I don't want to have mental assent. There's times I have had mental assent. But refreshing myself with this, I can see where I have had mental assent and where I've had faith. And it's good to do a checkup from the neck up. Are you standing in faith? Are you truly believing? Or do you think you are believing because of the knowledge that you have? Can you see what I'm saying? There's a difference. See, when we are in faith with God, we are dangerous to the devil. Right? He does not bother with lukewarm or cold believers. The devil ain't interested in you. If you're living the worldly life, he ain't interested in you. Right? And you'll still have your problems as well. But he ain't after you. He doesn't want a believer to know who he is in Christ. He doesn't want the believer to know their authority. He doesn't want the believer to know that, you know, that they're to walk and be led by the Spirit. He wants to shake up your world. He wants to sift you as wheat, just like he wanted to sift Peter as wheat. And where? Where was he going to sift them as wheat? In the mind, because that's where believing comes from, the mind. So we need to arm ourselves with the word of God and walk by the Spirit of God and stand strong and true regardless of whatever's going on. If you look at the state of the world right now, all the things that are happening all over the world, in your environments, in the weather conditions, in the politics, in the people's reactions, and people hurting one another and going against each other, you need to have faith, because you ain't going to stand if you haven't got it. You're going to become cold. You're going to get offended because of the world and the word. Okay, but we need to make sure that we're strong and that we're walking in the face of adversity in faith, not in fear. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And God wants his people together. There may be different ministries and fellowships all over the world, But to be divided and not talk to one another is absolutely wrong. God wants his people as one. And as much as life in you, we should live peaceably with all men, especially within the household of God. And these things are just strong in my heart. And I'm not angry. It may sound like I'm angry, but I'm not. I'm just filled with passion on this, because this is what's happening in the world and in the believing world right now. If we're going to stand on the word, let's live our creed. Let's live what we say we believe. Okay, let's back it up. Let's walk in that love. Let's have that genuine faith. Let's just not mentally assent because of our knowledge of what we've understood from years past. Okay, but let's build up the word of God in our heart. Let God lead you by the Spirit, and you'll have power. You'll have that authority. You'll have doors opening for you. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd like us to go there. And this is just a really another wonderful record in the word of God. And we should... No, when you come to the word of God, when you're looking at a different verses of scripture, just take time and read each word. Meditate upon each word in the verse. And let God speak to your heart. Let him show you. He's the one that opens up the understanding of his word. Not a teacher. A teacher may be able to open up some stuff. But the understanding to you comes from God through the Spirit in you as you apply yourself to the word. In 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate, except you be unsound in your mind? You know you've got God in Christ in you. You are righteous. You are justified. You are sanctified. You are redeemed. You've got the ministry of reconciliation. These are rights that you have, sonship rights, that you can apply in your life, that you can live, and you can take a stand on and not budge. Okay? Faith does not move you. Fear will move you. Faith moves you towards God's goals and towards God's directions. Fear will get you moving the opposite way. Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen, don't put your trust in anything outside of God and Jesus Christ and his wonderful word. And him working in you by his Spirit. Because he's working in you. It says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, it's that strength coming from God through Christ in you that you can do the things that he wants you to do. God wouldn't give you anything that you cannot do. And he wants you to believe. He wants you to take the stand in love so that we encourage the people around us. It starts within the household of God first. We encourage. We live our life before the believers in front of us. We serve one another. We love one another. We help one another. We build each other up. You know, even in the book of Acts, when there was need, they sold their plurality. They didn't keep what they didn't need, but they gave it for the movement of the word. They gave it so everybody's needs were met. No one should lack within the body of Christ, not the leaders, not the believers. There should be equality in that body of Christ, and God's just really working in this. Are you down in faith? Are you mentally assenting in your giving? Right, because God wants you to abound. He wants us all to abound in faith, in love, in charity, in our giving, in all these things. He wants us to abound. And when we're in faith, then we're not going to hold back in any of those areas. Right, so are you trusting in your chariot, your job, your bank balance, the people around you? Or are you trusting in the one true God? Are you truly looking to him? Romans 15:17 says, for it is by one man's offence death reigned, because of Adam, death reigned by one. Much more, they which received an abundance of grace. We didn't just receive grace, we received an abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We should be reigning in life by one Jesus Christ. In every sphere of influence in our life, we should be reigning. And when we're walking in faith, we can reign. We can reign. We can walk like Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ wasn't subject to the weather conditions. He wasn't subject to taxes. He wasn't subject to lack of food, right? He looked to God and he prayed to God. His confidence and trust was in the Father, and God provided everything that he needed. Even with the taxes, when he told Peter to go and open the mouth of the fish, and you'll find enough there to pay for me and thee, right? When there was only a loaf of bread or two fishes, however many it was, God multiplied that because Jesus Christ looked to God for that to be multiplied. He thanked the Father, and God multiplied those things. So can you see, that's living by faith, and we can live by faith. We can do this. We got God in Christ in us. We can walk like, if we can do the same works as Jesus Christ, then surely we can have the same faith of Jesus Christ, because we have the faith of Christ. Are we believing it? It's just a case of believing it and acting upon the word of God. And God wants us to act upon his word, not just have knowledge. Right? Knowledge is good, but it puffs up if it's not applied. Even Paul didn't go to people with wisdom or man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. It's the power of God that sets people free. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Okay, and if we're humbugs in our heart because we think we've been dealt a bad hand with the people around us, then we're never going to move. All right, God has not dealt you a bad hand. He's given you the best in life, but it's up to you how you utilize it. It's just like people that steward things. You know, like the stewards, when Jesus Christ told the parable there, the story, that they had different talents given to them. Each one handled the talent according to the amount that they given. They handled it, and one went and buried his talent. Are you burying your talent, so to speak? 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's through our Lord Jesus Christ that we get the victory, okay, in death and in life. It's through him that we have the victory. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We are already more than conquerors. Now we need to start acting like that, not wimps, not people that are full of fear and afraid. Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God." That love of God which energizes faith, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, nothing can separate you from the love of God, no matter what's going in your life, no matter what's coming against you. God is not condemning you. You shouldn't condemn yourself. Even if you screwed up, you shouldn't condemn yourself, but you should rise in faith. Like Jason saying, when you're down, pick yourself up. If you made a boo-boo, brush yourself down and start moving in faith, right? We don't look at what we've done wrong, but we look at the Saviour from the sin, and we just keep moving with him. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident." Now, Paul was being confident of this very thing. And God wants us also to be confident of this very thing. "That he, God, which hath began a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." We just have to make up our mind every day we're going to stand on the word of God, that we're going to stand with God and for the one true God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he supplies the strength, he supplies the vision, he supplies the direction, he supplies everything. He doesn't want anything from you apart from you to believe him and do those things which he wants you to do, which his word shows you to do, and what he's working in your heart. He'll provide everything, right? He's the one that provides. Let him work in your heart. Let him work in your life. Let him work in you so that you can be a giver in every area of your life as a believer. Because that's what we are. God so loved the world that he gave. And we're to imitate our Father. We're to walk in love. We're to represent him in that love. Let people see that love of God through you. That's what's going to turn the people on. Mark chapter 11 verse 22 says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God," or literally, "have the faith of God." Why? We got the Spirit of God, so we can have the faith of God. God calls those things not as though they were. That's faith. God's seen it already done. We have to see the things already done. Verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, or have fear or worries in his heart, but shall believe," have that faith, confidence and trust in God, "that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Either Jesus lied here or he told the truth. What do you think? I think he told the truth. I want to declare what God says above my circumstances, above my situations. And not only do I want to, but I'm going to, and I do. How about you? Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them." Believe you already got it, like God does. He says it, he sees it already is done, and ye shall have them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through" what? Believing. You didn't see God and you didn't see Jesus, but you believed. Okay, you took the action, you confessed him as your Lord, and therefore you receive. And that is what faith is. You act, you believe the words. Even if you haven't seen anything happen yet, you just move. Because you believe that God's word is solid and true. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, and not a result of work, so that no man may boast. Right? We can't boast in anything. God has done the work in Christ, and we believe God. Romans 10. We're going to finish off here now. A wonderful scripture. So really, living by faith is not a struggle. And God really wants us to have great faith. And the word of God gives that faith. And faith will turn every defeat in your life into victory. Every challenge into your life into victory. When you believe the word of God and act upon it. Romans chapter 10 verse 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." That is problem number one. People get instructed in the word, but they don't do it. See, there was many opportunities I could have had in my life to have a trade, but I didn't want to learn. So I can't do any of those trades. But if I stuck around and learned, then I could have had a trade. I could have been, electrician or a plumber. But I haven't got a clue how to do those things because I didn't stick around and learn. Right? I wasn't obedient to the people that gave me the opportunities at that time. But they have not all obeyed the good news. The good news of faith. The good news of believing. The good news of the love of God. The good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of eternal life. The good news that Jesus Christ is going to gather the saints any time soon. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So therefore they haven't got the results. Oh, the word of God doesn't work for me. And I've tried it. No, you didn't try. You were mentally assenting. You had a knowledge of the word, but you didn't act upon it in faith. "For I, Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" We could well say the same. Who has believed our report? Verse 17. "So then, faith, believing, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This word of God builds your faith. Okay, this word of God and the words from God that's being inspired in someone to speak will give you faith. I guarantee you now, from Jason's teaching and this teaching, your faith levels have increased. You may have been challenged. And don't be deceived by my tone of voice. I am not angry. I'm not upset. I'm very excited. Because I needed this refresher course with God. And perhaps you need to take a refresher course and just truly believe in God. And get out of our comfort zones. And let's really move. You know, let's be those witnesses. Let's be those ambassadors. Let's be those lovers of God in faith. And I encourage you to really go and work the word for yourself in this area. And, you know, I don't know you on this. This is not aimed at anyone. But it's just the needs that God I've seen, that God was showing me to minister to. And this is what I'm doing. And I pray you get blessed. I pray that you're encouraged. Whatever error in life that you need to have faith, go to the word of God. He'll supply everything that you need. But my God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. Not just money, but your faith, your answers, your direction, your vision. Whatever it is you need, God will supply all your need. So Father, I just want to thank you right now for every person that's listening to this teaching. And I thank you, Father, that their faith levels have increased through your word that's been spoken. I ask that you bless them. I ask, Father, as these people apply the word that's been taught here tonight, that, Father, that you'll increase them, that you'll come through for them, that you'll show them that you're there, ready to go to work when they truly believe, or, Father, when they have that confidence and trust in you. Father, help us to rise above the unbelief of this world. And we can do this because we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. I thank you for blessing everyone that's tuned in on this teaching. I thank you for your word going throughout the whole of this world, Father. And I thank you, Father, for your deliverance, your direction. And I thank you for your word, Father, which is our foundation also, Father, that we can stand upon so that we don't get deceived by anybody else, Father. We can see what your word says. We can take it to heart, and then we can let you work in us to lead us by your Spirit. So I thank you for this. I thank you for blessing every country of the world right now. I thank you for all the politicians in the world, Father, right now, that your work and raise people up that are going to help stabilize the things, Father, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life, God. I thank you, Father, for your love, and I thank you, Father, for just the great faith that you infuse in us when we choose to believe you and act upon your word. So I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ, for great deliverance. For anyone that needs healing right now, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. For anyone that's struggling in their relationships, the Lord bless you in your relationships and bring you deliverance right now and restore you as you look to him, as you go to him with a humble and meek heart. And if you're struggling in finance, may God bless you and multiply your finances as you give. You will also receive. And so, Father, I just thank you for these things right now. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.